Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Bow to the people! Bow to the people! It's time for Bow to the People. Come on, way. Come on now. Bow to the people. Bow to the people. Bow to the people. It's Bow to the People.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here at the beach, and we have our program director and sound engineer, South Bay Jay, in the studio. Well, of course, I always start out with what's happening weather-wise. And today's a slightly on-and-off drizzly day, or at least it's been that way this morning. It's supposedly going to stop, but we might be, I guess there's a slight chance of getting more rain later this week, perhaps Thursday and Friday. But they say this weekend is going to be nice and warm and sunny, and really that's all that matters. Well, I guess the entire week matters, but, you know, most importantly the weekend. I hate when it's nice during the week and then, you know, the weekend is raining or, you know, is awful looking. So, you know, today kind of looks gloomy. It looks like what you would characterize as a Monday, you know. So, but, you know, weather is weather, and we're blessed here in Southern California to usually have good weather. I don't think I could quite cut it on the East Coast or, you know, sections of the Midwest where you have to shovel out of snow and it gets cold. And I can't even imagine, you know, what the electric or gas bill would be for heating a home, especially, you know, when it's sub-zero weather, and if you have to be outside sub-zero weather and with a wind chill factor, you know, way colder than that. So we should count our blessings here in Southern California, and, you know, onward and upward. Okay, so, you know, most people who know me know I'm a football fan, and the UFL, United Football League, started up. They had a Friday night game, which I missed. I had an event going on. And then the next day, they had a Saturday game, and it was San Antonio versus some other team. Oh, Arlington, you know, two Texas teams. And I don't want to demean any of the players, but it seemed kind of almost like second-class or second-rate teams playing, and there were fumbles, interceptions, missed passes, you know, a lot of punts, and it wasn't all that great, but I love football, and it sure beats, you know, it's better than nothing, I guess. So hopefully things will get better. You know, it's always, these people are trying to make the NFL, and but I can kind of see why many of them are not NFL quality. There were some, actually, there were good plays, and there were some really good players. So, but far be it for me to judge, being a Monday morning quarterback, as they say. But it was still kind of interesting. I'm not into basketball, but, of course, we've got March Madness going on. So, on the men's side of things, all four number one seeds advanced to the men's Final Four, and that's apparently the first time since 2008, and only the second time in history. When it comes down to March Madness, particularly the Sweet 16, and then, you know, onward, but particularly in the Final Four, upsets are common. So I don't know if that's because the way they were ranked was wrong, or they just played better than the way they were ranked. But anyways, so insofar as who's playing in the Final Four on Saturday, it's going to be Auburn versus Florida and Duke versus Houston. On the women's seeds, South Carolina and UCLA are in. UCLA, I hear, looked really good. The two remaining spots in the semifinals will be decided today when TCU takes on Texas and UConn faces USC. So go Trojans. And I don't have anything against the University of Connecticut, but I just, you know, we'll always root for our local teams. I don't know if USC wins, they would be in the, you know, in UCLA. Would they be playing UCLA? Or I'm not sure how those brackets were. I don't unfortunately have the brackets in front of me. So this weekend, for me personally, it was like if anything could possibly go wrong, it did, and then some. I don't know, what's that, Murphy's Law? But the big item was, or the catastrophe, big catastrophe, was my garage door opener. You know, a couple of weeks ago, the springs broke, or one of the springs broke, and when one breaks, you replace both of them, and they were in pretty bad condition. Living close to the beach, things oxidize, you know, metal, whether it's galvanized or stainless, like stainless steel, or even aluminum oxidizes. But so I had that repaired or replaced. And then on Thursday, the entire garage door operating system self-destructed. It died, in other words. What happened was the all of the brackets and, I suspect the motor as well, because that didn't sound too good previously. I was actually told when the spring was replaced that the motor was on its last leg, but I didn't want to replace it at the time. But this time around, I replaced everything, the bushings, the bearings, the brackets, the motor, you name it. And now it's really, the new one I have is really quiet. It goes down to, when it gets down to close to the ground, then it kind of slows down a bit and eases itself down. I've never seen that before. It looks more high-tech, and in fact it is. There's an app that I haven't had time to try out yet. I was busy with other things this weekend. But I can open and close it, of course, with the clicker. The one thing I have to do now is my car in the mirror has a, the garage door opener buttons, and I have to sync that with the garage door itself, the mechanism. But it also has, and I haven't downloaded the app yet, but there's an app where I can open and close the garage door or turn on and off the lights with my phone. I can actually do it with my, you know, with my Apple iPhone, but I can also do it with my Apple Watch or even my iPad or anywhere over the internet. I can log in to my account and everything's encrypted. And it'll also give me a warning if I left the garage door opener, the garage door open, and I can close it remotely, you know, through all of those methods. So it'll supposedly show me on my watch, you know, as well, if I left the door open. The interesting thing is it does that on my Mercedes, and because a couple of times I left the doors unlocked. The one thing I still don't like about that feature, at least regarding my Mercedes, is when the car's in the garage, I never lock the the car doors. You know, it's only when you're outside or parked somewhere. But yet it'll warn me, and so I haven't quite figured out how to turn it off. So now when I leave, I lock the doors on my car when I leave the car and go into the house. But it's simple. I just tap my finger in this one space on the door handle, and it locks it in the same way, unlocking it. And also, like this new garage door opener, I can do that, unlock my car, and do some other things, remote start through my, any Apple device. All of my Apple devices are programmed for with the car, and now I just need to program the car to the garage door. So, things are more technical than they seem to be. The old garage door opener, when the power went out, and if I wanted to put the car in the garage, or worse, the car was in the garage and I wanted to get out, I had to pull this manual thing and like a handle on a rope, and it disengages the garage, and then I can manually lift the garage door open. But the door is very heavy, and I wouldn't even know how to put it back or align it properly, although I was told that's not that difficult. But my point is, the new one that I have now has a battery backup, so when Edison gives us the next power outage, and if I either want to go in or go out, and I have to open the garage door, I have the battery backup. Apparently that's state law. So, and on all the technology, on all of my wearables and the phone and my iPad, or even remotely through the internet, it'll tell me if the battery is low. It also has some internal diagnostics, so it can tell me certain things. I don't know if it'll tell me if anything needs to be lubricated, because I think you're supposed to do that at least once a year. I do it when first time I hear a squeak, and so that's not really an important feature. But apparently if there's some other problems, if it detects it's out of alignment, I'll get some kind of warning. So not that I would know how to realign it, but it's just interesting, the technology. There's another model that you can also program it to automatically close after, say 1 minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and you can also have it pre-programmed to turn on the garage light on and off. I'm not sure why I would want that feature. When I go into the garage, I got a light switch I can use. And, when I open the garage door, the light automatically comes on. And I think I need to set the timer, because it seems like it's on for a minute or more, maybe 90 seconds. And I had it previously for 15 seconds, because that's all I need to get out of my car and go into the house. So, but anyways, enough of that, technology. They talk about smart homes and smart appliances. In fact, I'm going to talk a little more about that later in the show. But the one thing I do want to talk about is earthquake safety. I actually did that somewhat last week, and then on the show the week before. But it always seems like over the weekend, we have some other incident. And of course Miramar had the 7.7 magnitude earthquake on Friday, and apparently over 2,000 people have been killed. You could see the high-rise structures literally pancaking. One of them kind of reminded me a little bit of the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers, the way it just pancaked among itself. Apparently also the earthquake building codes and standards, or the building codes and standards in general, over there aren't as strong. Well, in not in California. Yeah, I guess you could just say California. After the Long Beach earthquake, the earthquake standards were increased, the building codes statewide. And then after the Northridge quake, they even, you know, increased the standards. And then that's when they learned that earthquakes don't necessarily, the fault, they don't necessarily go side to side, but they go up and down. They call that a thrust fault movement, and they didn't know that previously, which kind of, I wonder if the older buildings, high-rise buildings in downtown L.A., which some of them are built on rollers to counteract the sliding movement, well, I'm not sure that they were necessarily designed for the intense shaking of thrust fault movements. Only time will tell. I think the seismologists probably know that, but there's a lot that even the seismologists, from a scientific standpoint, that they don't know, and they're always learning about new earthquakes that they didn't know existed, or faults that they thought maybe were only capable of a minor earthquake, and then later there was a major earthquake along, you know, that fault. So there's still a lot to learn. Now, locally, we actually had a 3.2 magnitude earthquake in Palos Verdes yesterday. And then last week, there was a swarm of earthquakes in Malibu. The highest was 3.9 magnitude. Now, they were actually determined to be separate earthquakes as opposed to aftershocks of an original earthquake. In Miramar, they're having, you know, several, and they will for some time, they're having several aftershocks, some of which are like in the 5 and 6 point magnitude, which is very strong. And buildings that were either not destroyed in the original earthquake have been in the subsequent aftershocks. I guess what happens is the infrastructure or the structures are compromised, and then the next one basically finishes the job, or they're just so compromised that, you know, any amount of force would damage the structure. So that's one thing when, after a major earthquake, it's not necessarily over, because there's always the risk of aftershocks. Or the what was thought to be the earthquake, the major earthquake, was actually the precursor. It was the P wave, not the S wave, the shock wave. And that the big one is forthcoming, you know, shortly thereafter. So once the, when you, you're experiencing an earthquake, and initially, when the initial shaking stops, you're not necessarily out of the woods. And they have statistics that as time goes by, the probability of having a major aftershock, or the probability that that was the P wave shock that precedes the S wave, the actual shock, the real earthquake, it diminishes. And it diminishes over time. So don't, if we have the big one, but the seismologists are always saying it's not a matter of if, but when, because historically we're long overdue. When we have a big one, just be careful, because, you know, don't let your guard down. It could be even more worse, is it proper grammar, can get a lot worse very shortly thereafter. So now, you know, in my last show, I talked about what to do to, you know, be prepared. I was an Eagle Scout, and the Boy Scout motto is be prepared, but you should always have an emergency disaster preparedness plan. And, you know, you can sign up for emergency notifications through various sources. I think the best one locally in L.A. County is the website is ready.lacounty.gov. There's other ones that where you can get shake alerts, but if you go to that website, that will give you everything you need to know, plus what you should have in your disaster preparedness plan. And by disaster, it could be earthquakes, could be fires, floods. You know, we even do get some tornadoes occasionally here in, you know, Southern California. We had one fairly recently. So, but, you know, any kind of disaster, well, short of a malfunctioning garage door opener, but the plan should have, you know, what to do when it happens, your exits. And whenever you go into any building, you should look around just to see what the structure is. If it's masonry brick versus, drywall versus the worst case, cases tilt-up construction, which is like big box stores. And if you go to like the Home Depot, which is typical of the tilt-up, they also have those large heavy shelvings that will topple over when there's intense shaking. But you should always look to see where the exits are. So, because when the disaster hits, there's probably no time at that point to figure things out. And if it's a fire, you know, there's in the smoke, you may not be able to see your way out. Or if the building is partially collapsed, again, you know, you want to be prepared. So whenever you get going to any structure, just check things out. In some cases, you might not even want to go into a structure. I tend to get a little leery about unreinforced masonry brick structures. Anyways, we have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Powell to the People.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People Wayne Powell here at the beach. And speaking about the beach, one concern, you know, I was talking about earthquakes before we had to take a commercial break, but of course there's tsunamis, and NOAA, the National Weather Service, will do tsunami warnings if there's a risk of a tsunami. So, but again, I want to mention, if you go to ready.lacounty.gov, if you can't remember that, just think of lacounty.gov. If you go there, you'll be able to navigate your way. And it lists websites, but of course, disaster, emergency information, and it's not just earthquakes, but, you know, fire disasters or floods or, you know, as I just mentioned, potential tsunamis. But the one thing that you need to either do is evacuate if you're in a structure that's unsafe. You know, maybe it's sustained massive damage. Otherwise, in some cases, you may have to shelter in place, particularly if the roads and infrastructure are compromised and you really can't get anywhere. But in both cases, if you have to leave, you need a go bag, as they call it, which is an emergency supply kit. If you're going to have to shelter in place, then they have what they call a stay box, where you're going to stay there for a while until you're able to leave. And both of them are essentially the same. For the go bag, you need to, I don't know why one's called a bag and the other's a box, but maybe that's just to distinguish leaving versus sheltering in place. But for the go bag, there's a number of critical items you should have in it. And as I mentioned, I believe on my last show, you should have one in your home, one in your car, and one, you know, at your workplace. And because you'll never know, you never know where you're going to be when the big one hits. Now, some people say, well, I just have it in the garage, you know, in my car, in the garage, and, you know, so I don't need one in the house. But if your garage collapses and you can't get to your car, what are you going to do? Or cars get broken into from time to time and things get stolen, perhaps maybe even more so during an earthquake, because people are getting desperate and, you know, maybe they think that there could be food or something, you know, supplies in the car, someone's car. Or you just have the looters that take advantage of every situation. We just saw that recently with the wildfires here in Southern California. So always have them in your workplace, in your home, and one also in your car. Now, there's a debate as to, you know, like, well, one of the most critical things is food and water, but one of the questions is for how long. And they used to say, you know, 72 hours, in other words, 3 days. But with all the earthquakes that have happened elsewhere, particularly in Japan, the major earthquakes, that is, where infrastructure is down, all of the infrastructure is down, it was basically like a week or two, in many cases 2 weeks, before, you know, things started to get back to some semblance of normalcy. So now they say, but food doesn't last that long. Well, for your go bag, because you don't know when you're going to need to use it, you would have freeze-dried, dehydrated food, or things that are in, you know, canned goods that can keep for a long time. But even with, and then water as well, water can keep. Except, I just think, you know, if you had it in a plastic container, you know, like the way you buy water, it'd be there forever. But I found out that, you know, emergency preparedness kits aside, you should, when you buy water just for regular use, you should use it within 6 months, because apparently the chemicals that are made, that they make the plastic from, around, you know, well, they say somewhere between 9 months to a year, it starts to leach into the water. I've heard some people say it doesn't, others that say it does. The reliable sources that I know says that they've done tests, and they say it does. So whether, you know, the water is part of your emergency preparedness kit, of your go bag or your stay box, if you're just using it just for everyday use, you know, I would be on the air on the safe side and use it within 6 months. And what they say is, if you have it in your kit and you're getting close to the 6 months, then you replenish that, and then you drink the water that, you know, you took out of your kit as, you know, your regular water consumption. So, but you need to have food and water and something that doesn't need to be cooked, because the electricity will be out, and it may take a long time for the power companies to restore power. So, and you can't rely, and you should have some cash on hand stored away in a safe place, and in small bills, because with the power being out, ATM machines are going to be out, banks are going to be closed because they're probably going to be without power. So you need to have, you know, some cash in case you need to get stuff, but not the stuff that you should have had in your go bag or stay box, because good luck with trying to buy that. People are going to be hoarding stuff, particularly food, water, and batteries, because some people didn't prepare. You should also, as I said earlier, you should have a map with at least 2 evacuation routes. You know, just in case, you know, I know everyone has GPSs. You could program that into a GPS, but, you know, you should always have a hard copy map just in case. And the evacuation routes are to get, you know, some from point A to point B safely, but you should also know the evacuation of the structure as well. Well, I'm going to continue this, but we have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Power to the People.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net Radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality Auto Parts Warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
It's Power to the People.
Welcome to Power to the People, or I should say welcome back. Wayne Powell here at the beach. Well, you know, of course, I've been talking about earthquake or just generically disaster preparedness and what you should have. And in addition to the food and the water, of course, you need to have any necessary prescriptions and medications. You should always have at least a half a tank of gas in your car, because of course the fuel pumps, the gas pumps are probably going to be dysfunctional if the power is out, you know, citywide. But you should just do that anyways. And I hear you should never let it get to near empty, because apparently sediments could go into the engine. They won't float anymore towards the top. But there may just be times when, you know, you're going to need to get gas. And again, if we have the a major disaster, and assuming that the gas pumps are working, I'm sure there's going to be, you know, long lines. So I just thought of that. It's not necessarily part of, you know, your go bag. But it, I guess actually in a way it is. It should be part of your disaster preparedness plan. Additionally, you need to have a change of clothes and extra eyeglasses in case they get broke, or contact lenses in case you lose them. And then you should have extra car keys. You should also have your credit cards. As I mentioned earlier, you know, small bills, in the cash in the form of small bills. Now, you should always have a first aid kit anywhere, and that's not just because of disasters, but, you know, there's home emergencies or auto accidents, so you should always have that, and that's just something you can buy off the shelf. You can also purchase a go bag or an emergency supply kit already assembled, or you can just, all of the items that I've been mentioning, and I've got a couple more to mention, you can assemble those as well. And sometimes the emergency supply kits don't exactly have everything that you should have. Certainly it's not going to have your medications or prescriptions or contact lenses or even your eyeglasses if they're prescription glasses. So also in that kit you should have sanitation supplies, you know, sanitary supplies. Now one thing that is extremely important is you should have a flashlight and a battery-powered radio. You know, the radio would be if the power's out and there's going to be emergency broadcasts. The flashlight is if it happens at night and the power's out, you need to be able to see your way around. And there may be broken glass from, you know, shattered windows or things that have broken. And I mentioned the extra batteries because if it's going to be a prolonged or protracted power outage, you might wear out the batteries. They also have, you know, solar-powered radios and flashlights, which you, should charge you can charge during daylight hours. But what I prefer, and I have one, is it's a combination flashlight and radio, but it's hand cranked, so you crank it with your hand. Now you don't have to keep cranking it while you're using it or listening to the radio or using the flashlight, but you crank it up and that charges the battery, and then it goes for a certain period of time, and then you know, when the battery charges down, you crank it some more, or you can also just keep cranking it while you're using it. That might be good exercise, actually, now that I think about it. And some of them, mine included, will charge devices, you know, like a cellular phone or a tablet. So, and on that note, you should have a phone charger and a car adapter. You should have a phone charger for at home, a car adapter for your car in case you're stuck somewhere in your car. And you should have, it goes by a number of names, but generically it's a backup battery power bank. And it is a device that stores power. And you should always, if you have one, you should periodically check it, but they usually keep the power, seems like, forever. I had one, and after a year and a half, I decided to test it, and it had like 98% charge. I didn't use it, so I don't know how it lost the 2%, or maybe I didn't charge it fully, but maybe you should consider having more than one. And again, you know, it should be in your house, in your car, and at your workplace. So, but that's very important. Now, one thing people tend to forget is, but you should absolutely have, is copies of important documents like birth certificates, passports, insurance, a will or a trust, deeds and titles, bank account records, including credit and debit cards. You should always have that separately. So if you lose your wallet or something gets stolen, you can have handily in one place your credit or debit cards with also the phone numbers to call to report them, you know, lost or stolen or destroyed. Also, insofar as copies of important documents, you should have your medical records, important telephone numbers, perhaps even photos of family members, you know, if God forbid, you have to identify, they have to be identified, as well as photos of your pets in case they get lost. And then, of course, immunization records. I would scan them and keep them, you know, like in the cloud, although the cloud may not be working, but also keep them on your, like, whatever device, maybe have it on your phone, also on, you know, a tablet or a PC, but also just have a hard copy so when all else fails, you have it. And you might want to keep it like one of those metal boxes, perhaps in a safe, so that way if your house was destroyed by a fire, typically they find that those, I don't want to say burn-proof, nothing's absolutely burn-proof, but the burn-resistant boxes and or safes, I know some people put it in a box and then burn-resistant box and then put that in the safe, but I know during the wildfires, those were the things that were left. Oh, having said that, one of the ugly side of things are the looters, and maybe that's what they look for. But, you know, you shouldn't be worried about that. Hopefully law enforcement will take care of that, or neighbors, perhaps. Just a couple of other things real quickly. You should have a dust mask and a whistle. A whistle is very important because if you're trapped, you can only scream or yell for a certain period of time and you lose your voice. But with a whistle, that won't happen. You should also have pet food and water for your pets. Never forget your pets. And finally, you should have toys for young kids, just to be able to keep them occupied, and especially since they may be traumatized by the incident. I mean, we all will be, but certainly kids. And on that note, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's power to the people.
Millions of Americans are without access to dental benefits, especially because of the high market demand for quality and affordable dental care in America. Now here comes DentalPlans.com. It's the leading online resource for discount dental plans and an alternative to dental insurance for families and individuals. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on DentalPlans.com now and find your affordable dental care in America.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm Carole King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
It's Power to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Wayne Powell here at the beach. Okay, so enough of disaster preparedness. I'm hoping that we just don't have another earthquake. You know, I've really, I was going to say I don't like having to go through this each time. It's not that I don't like having to go through it. We wish we wouldn't have to do that. Anyways, in other news, I just saw on TV, they showed this guy who got caught keying a Tesla. Actually, he keyed a swastika. And now all the Teslas, not now, they've always had, those cameras. Most cars, many cars, have the in-car camera as well as it does a 360. And so the guy claimed that he was using a crayon, but it was obvious that he wasn't. But no matter how much we all hate, or how much you all and myself actually hate Elon Musk, don't be, vandalizing other people's property. They had nothing to do with it. Having said that, my neighbor just bought a Tesla truck, and I hate the trucks. I apologize to anyone that owns one, but for me, long before, people started hating Elon Musk, people hated that truck because of it looks ugly. And but still you shouldn't resort to violence. And I know now most all of those trucks have been recalled because the body panels aren't coming off. And it's like the eighth recall of the truck. And I just saw where apparently there's a redesign, so the new models, I guess it's going to be the 2026 models, it looks a lot better, but I don't know, I just don't like it. But anyways, enough of that, and again, if you're a Tesla truck owner, I apologize, but I just had to get that off my chest. Okay, well, so speaking about Musk and Tesla, it brings me to SpaceX. And tomorrow at 4:39 Pacific time, there's going to be a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launch from Vandenberg. However, given the way the weather's been lately, it'll be overcast, and if that's the case, you won't be able to see it. And I prefer to see the evening rocket launches, and of course they're more visible. But, you know, it used to be kind of an exciting thing, but now it's just commonplace. So, well, I want to briefly talk about, you know, I always mention technology, and I can't keep up with it. And yes, most of us have smart watches, you know, all kinds of wearables. Certainly, we all probably have iPhones, and many have, or mobile phones. It could be Android or iPad or Apple. And then others have, you know, I was going to say iPads, but I should say tablets, you know, generically, and laptops and computers, you know, and all of that stuff. So then some have, like smart rings, but you know, all of that technology is just rapidly changing and becoming more sophisticated. Of course, they have those smart speakers. I just saw where Amazon is advertising their Echo Dot smart speaker. There's a 20% price cut. I personally wouldn't want to have one in my house. Because it's listening 24/7. It has to, so it, when you give it the command, you know, for it to, when you want to ask it a question, just like, you know, whether it's Siri or, well, whatever the other ones is. I can't remember what the one is. Oh, Bixby. Hey, Bixby. That's what you're supposed to say, or hey, Google, if you have an Android device. But anyways, all of that has to listen. I turn them off. I would rather just push the button and hold it to get Siri to answer. But I hear they still listen anyways. And from a privacy standpoint, you don't know where that data is going, you know, how it, if it's being marketed, you know, sold to third parties who, you know, package it and resell it. So, but certainly having a HomePod or a smart speaker in your house, to me, I don't want one of those. Yeah, it may be a convenience item, but no way. And you hear about data breaches. You know, now they're talking about cars and of course, the HomePods, the smart appliances, wearables. You know, it's just, who knows? The cars, I hear, they are listening and they're tracking your every move. Presumably, same thing with wearables. So, you know, there's an offset. You give up privacy for convenience, I suppose. I have people when they're talking about something that, you know, maybe is sensitive, they actually cover their smartwatch, or if they're wearing a smart ring, or if they have a HomePod somewhere, or a smart device, even like a, you know, a dishwasher, refrigerator, or oven, or whatever, they walk away from it. And maybe that's safe. But we all just heard recently where the company called 23andMe filed for bankruptcy. You know, there you would give a sample, a swab, saliva swab, and you could get your genetic, your ancestry, and then also it will show whether you're predisposed or susceptible to certain diseases. Well, now that 23andMe filed for bankruptcy, we don't know if your genetic data is going to be sold, and not just family heritage, but, you know, the health data, which could be sold to insurance companies, life insurance companies, you know, whatever. And people are trying to get that information back. And, of course, hackers with data breaches. And with AI, who knows, you know, nowadays. I suppose there's now no expectation of privacy anywhere. And, of course, when you're out in public, there's cameras everywhere. And so, you know, Big Brother, you should just, I guess, assume Big Brother is looking over your shoulder. So that's yet another reason to behave yourself and don't be keying Teslas or, you know, any cars. remember one time I came out of a store, and this lady was keying this car, and she said, "That'll teach my husband for cheating." And it took them the license plate and description. Actually, took a photo, but the description. And after she left, I put it on the car so the person whose car had been damaged, you know, would have who did it. But again, now, you know, in parking lots, there's cameras everywhere, and of course, many cars have car cams. So, just again, a word of advice: don't do it. I don't know which would be worse, that, or I think the privacy thing is worse. So, just exercise caution. My big advice is to disable the voice portion for like Siri or Bixby or, you know, Hey Google, and just have it so you push and hold a button on your device and then it activates. That may save you some grief in the future, although again, I've heard that that's not totally fail-safe and that in some cases they listen anyways. But, you know, who knows? There's just so many things now that we give up in this world for convenience. Obviously, privacy is one. And even like if you have a smart TV, I've heard that that can be spying on you and the information can be sold. So, you know, what are we to do except, again, just be cognizant of that and, you know, if you have sensitive information that you want to do verbally. You know, they say that even if you're texting, that information gets accumulated and goes to, and again, with smart devices, you know, the same. There's marketers that would love to have your, you know, the various living habits, because then they could sell whatever related items there are. And on that note, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my listeners for listening to Powell to the People. And always remember, power is the ability to do good things for others and to make your community and the world a better place. This is Wayne Powell sending you positive thoughts and good wishes. Stay safe, be well, and have a great week. We'll see you back next Monday. Until then, bye for now.
Powell, it's Powell to the People. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People. It's Powell, Powell to the People. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People.